Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Why do I even bother?
I've been asking you that for decades now.
I mean, I do have to announce we're going to have to shelve one of the more popular segments of the show. You know how popular it was when you were out looking for a job.
Yes, I do.
We were gonna do the
one popular with me.
But the fans liked it, and we were gonna do the same thing. Has Joe found a job yet, or Joe's job jollies or whatever? However,
jollies.
I did pass my tests, so I am still employed with TSA.
You are still gainfully employed.
No, after the headlines blasting across the news this week, I'm asking myself, why did I even bother? I mean, it's like, oh, hog pile on TSA week. Woohoo! For those of you not in the know,
and that's me.
Apparently the headlines have surfaced, at least briefly, that TSA is terrible at red team tests. Those are the guys who, you know, mock themselves up with fake explosives and try to sneak past our checkpoint. These are the elite test teams. Apparently, out of 70 tests, we flunked like 67 of them. So naturally, everybody's having a field day with it. And most of them are getting the facts wrong.
Well, of course, that's why I
was listening to some in Maine. I was actually shocked because I was listening to some in Maine Chatterhead on Fox, who wasn't a blonde, although she might have been the way she
was. Why are you watching Fox?
Well, it just so happens that Fox lifted it from ABC and made it sound like it was their own. So naturally, they got somebody who thought she was more clever than her mouth, listening to her go on and on about how terrible TSA security is. And naturally, she got her facts wrong, like, you know, misnaming equipment and not knowing what exactly it is we're looking for and things like that. So I gave up on Fox and I went to ABC. And a lot of the chatter, you know, they talk about these red teams, these covert teams that come through and are supposed to test us. There's a couple of things, though, that they never really talk about. The first thing is that the teams that come through already know the weaknesses. So rather than tell us, you know, ground level people, hey, you know, there's a flaw in the screening method, we should probably seal it, the team puts together the hardest test possible and then is shocked, I tell you, when they're able to get whatever it is they're trying to sneak through. The second thing is, I've only had, in my 13 years at TSA, I've only been tested by one of these red teams once. So it tells you how often they come through. It's not very. They're testing. Well, I don't know what you're looking for. The answers they're looking for are very specific. A, B, C. So when I had the red team come through, I went from A to C. We stopped the guy from bringing a fake bomb through the checkpoint. But because I didn't do it A, B, C, I failed. I was successful in doing what I was supposed to do. I failed at it, though. So naturally, you know, it's like hogpile on TSA week, you know, until something else popped up. I don't know what it was, some minor tragedy on the Yangtze River, some tour boat overturn, killing like 400 people. I don't know. Now it's out of the news, but it's very discouraging. You know, it just seems to be a lot of TSA bashing going this week. And of course, right after I triumphantly finish my test, I hang on to my job and now I'm like, you know, I'd have gotten more respect if I'd, you know, be a Walmart greeter somewhere.
Get more respect if you owned a comic shop.
No, no, not that much respect. Good Lord, we call that the Widowmaker. So I'm a little curmudgeonly today.
See, I made a vow about a year or so ago, maybe two, maybe, I don't know. It was a while ago. I decided to leave the 24-hour news cycle. I don't want anything to do with it anymore because it's always, You see, when you watch cable news, everything is a crisis, and it's never, ever going to get any better. It's crisis, crisis all the time. Everything's a crisis. Now, the TiVo in my bedroom, I will record Rachel Maddow. And when I'm waking up in the morning and getting dressed and everything, I'll watch maybe the first one or two stories she does, because she'll take whatever the story of whatever and put it in historical context. That's, you know, I've cut off, but I still, you know, peek in. I am so much happier. Because every so often I'll go into the break room at work and they've got the cable TV on and there are people just watching it and they're discussing this horrible crisis or this terrible thing that's going on that in 3 days no one will remember and no one will care. Oh, yeah. And it doesn't affect your life at all.
I just keep thinking that they're just kind of putting us, you know, there's somebody somewhere setting us up to just close us down, you know, because... Which would be fine. I mean, it's been a good run.
So I feel about humanity. Yeah, we had a good run.
We had a good run. And then my favorite is they ousted the TSA acting administrator. He's not the guy who's in charge. I mean, he's in charge, but he's not allowed to do anything charge-worthy. He's just waiting until they find some other schmuck to do this job. But by God, we ousted him out, which means they just put him somewhere else, so you know he can still get his same type of whatever.
Paycheck. See, the thing is, Joe, because I don't pay attention to the news, I have room in my head for more important things.
Like where? Like getting me a job when TSA finally folds?
Oh, that's easy. Oh, good. Unemployment rate in Minnesota is 3.3%. All I'd have to do is say, oh, here's the temp agency. They'd have you in a job within a week.
I could always drive a bus. Let me tell you, Chris, one of these days, pow, bang, to the moon.
But on the way home, instead of listening to the news, I was listening to the Underground Garage radio station on the Sirius, and they played Fire, the song Fire by the Crazy World of Arthur Brown. Joe, do you know that song?
Negative.
If I give you the first line of it, you'll know it.
Okay.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire. I bring you to burn. And as I'm listening to the song, first thing is, oh, yeah, I remember this song when I was a kid. And the second thing I think is, how the hell did this ever get played on the radio by anyone ever, let alone become a hit song? There's like two lines in it. Fire, I'll teach you to burn. Fire, I'll teach you to learn. With this church pipe organ playing, and that's the song. It's 2.5 minutes of him just, you know, fire, I'll teach you to burn. And then I read up on Arthur Brown, because the band, so-called band, was the Crazy World of Arthur Brown.
He's so crazy.
He was a philosophy student. This is the only song he ever did that was a hit. And then, yeah, gone. He was gone.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers too.
The disc jockey said he went back to school, got his philosophy degree, and became a professor.
Well, good. You got to have a hobby.
I don't think we're going to get stuff like that happening in the world anymore. I don't think we're going to get, you know, a philosophy student wandering into a recording studio, recording a song with his grandma playing the organ, it sounds like. And it's all about, you're going to burn! You're going to burn! Fire! 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 That's the song. It's
very lyrical.
Yes, and I will say this, I turned it up all the way and sang along as I was driving.
Well, that explains the accident on 35E today.
That explains a lot of things about me. You know who else could explain a lot of things, Joe?
Who's that?
These guys, our sponsors! You may not be able to join the Mighty Marvel Marching Society anymore, or even the Friends of Old Marvel, but you can visit our sponsors. Our oldest sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, go to DreamHost.com. They will take care of you as they've been taking care of me for over 15 years. If you use the code CRAZY, that's K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year of hosting. If you are listening to this podcast, you are very good looking. That's right. As a good looking person, you can't trust your skin to any old razor. That's why you need to shave with the amazing razors you could get delivered from the Dollar Shave Club. Every month they send a box with your shaving supplies. At the beginning of the week, or whenever you want, you pop in a fresh blade and get that fresh blade shave. It feels fantastic, and it's just one of the many, many ways that you can maintain the good looks that everyone has come to expect from you. And if you join us at the Dollar Shave Club, their plans start at just $3 a month. They have a money-back guarantee, and there is no excuse for you to ever use any other razor. So just go to dollarshaveclub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, to get started. One of the things you need to do this year, you need to get healthy. We all need to be healthy so we can all hang out a lot longer. And one of the ways to get healthy is not to go down to the vending machine and buy those chips or those candy bars or any of the other vending machine snacks. You want healthy snacks picked out by actual chefs who know what they're doing, and you can do that at graze.com. And if you use the code CORYS3R5P, your first and fifth box are free, so you can try it out. See if that's the kind of stuff you like. That's CORYS3R5P. Our final sponsor is Worldwide News. Worldwide News is the story of the lowest rated cable news network and the people who work there. It is updated twice a week by writer Corey Strode. Hey, that's me! And artist Dangerous Dan Moore. Worldwide News at worldwidenews.solitairerose.com, part of the Solitaire Rose family of websites. If you would like to contact us, there are a whole bunch of ways. You can email us at corey.strode@gmail.com. You can give us a call. We have a voice line that is open at all times at 952-856-0519, or you could go to Facebook and join the Crazy Comics and Stuff fan page. If you would like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or on Solitaire Rose Radio, you can. Just send me an email at corey.strode@gmail.com. Subject advertising. Thanks.
It's good we have sponsors.
Yeah, and just letting people know, we're up on the YouTubes now. You can listen to the episode on your MP3 player, your computer, in your car with your Bluetooth, and the Podcatcher and iTunes, and I don't know what all, and something in Germany that really likes episode 87, because we're up to 10,000 goddamn downloads on whatever it is, all in Germany. Something in episode 87, the Germans love.
This could be the start of World War III.
Could be the start of the collapse of Germany again.
The end
I don't
of the
know.
World as we know it.
I just think there's one person in Germany who keeps knocking on people's doors and go, "You need to download Crazy Comics and Stories 87. Why? Don't ask questions. Just do it. I never understand the numbers. But now we're up on the YouTubes. And Joe, you know how you talk about the 12 listeners because you're stealing that bit from WrestleCrap Radio?
Which is amazing because I think I only listened to it 12 times.
Yeah. And, well, on the YouTubes, we're only getting like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 hits. So from what one of my podcasting friends said is you need to be patient – because it takes a while, and you need to have a lot of content.
Mm-hmm.
So, good Lord, we got a lot of content.
No substance, but content.
That's right, and we're going to be putting it up on the YouTubes there.
Yeah.
So get ready, people. So we did two episodes last week.
Or as in our terms, just one big episode, because we recorded it in one massive sitting.
Yeah, but don't break kayfabe, okay? Oh, we did two episodes last week.
So I should mention how cool it is. I'm sitting here in my relocated man cave.
Oh, that's right. You're in the basement now.
Don't break kayfabe. It's actually, I'm actually surprised. It actually is kind of nice. I got my little cubbyhole here. I had to reach over earlier, turn off the humidifier because it was making lots of noise. And the sound seems pretty good because I don't have, you know, right angles bouncing echo back and forth. And I can watch the laundry while I'm sitting here. So if I happen to wander away, you know, I'm just over there, you know, changing the laundry loads. And I have, of course, my entire collection here. So if I just feel like maybe putting something on eBay while we hear podcasts, I just may do that.
You know, when I saw Rush, not last time or the time before, but the two or three times ago, you know, they've always got stuff on the stage. They had this big thing making rotisserie chickens.
Chicken.
And washing machines and dryers. Clothes dryers. I like Rush. I like Rush a lot. But that was one of those things where I looked on the stage and, okay, there's all the musical stuff. There's this, there's that. Oh, they have a 10-foot tall machine for making rotisserie chicken. Three washing machines stacked on each other. Three dryers stacked on each other. What the hell does that have to do with anything Rush has ever sung ever in the history of music?
Well, they can get the stuff done while they're going in concert.
So really, the concert's just an excuse for them to do their laundry and make dinner.
Pretty much.
Well, you know what? They're going to charge you $110 and perform for 3 hours. They should have something nice afterwards.
I think Williams and Reed did that once. They actually made microwave brownies while they were doing their comedian routine. And then the audience was small enough so that they could actually share it with everybody.
I've been in smaller audiences, Joe. Did I tell you about the last time I went to the Comedy Corner in downtown Minneapolis?
Negative.
Oh, the Comedy Corner is in the, well, it was. I doubt it's there now if they had many more nights like when I went. Is in the basement of a place called the Corner Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where we used to go when I worked at the hospital.
That wasn't that round room, was it? Going to the Corner Bar?
No.
Oh.
No. And when I was there for one of the happy hours it was longer than an hour. Sometimes it was like a happy 7 hours.
False advertising. I hate it.
Oh, no. We're the ones who made it happy. They would come up to us at 7 o'clock and go, happy hour's end. They'd come up to us at like 5 till 7 and go, happy hour's ending. Do you guys want to buy anything? And then we'd look at Scott. And if Scott bought more than 5 drinks, it's like, okay, we're going to be here till 10. So I better order a couple of, you know, a few beers and have it all sitting and waiting. Oh, but we went down.
This just in, Harrison Ford flies again after a fatal plane crash. Details, never.
Oh, the crickets like that.
Good. I like to see their life. I'm a little worried when you got your cat all riled up because of your door changing. I didn't want it to, like, go hunt down the crickets.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Uh-oh.
So we, the fine young lady that I went to the Comedy Corner with, we get there, we go downstairs, and it's a basement of a bar, and they had a bunch of, like, easy chairs and couches that obviously were left by people leaving the dorms at the U of M. And maybe they didn't get to them with great alacrity because you know how that smell when you're walking by and somebody has the free couch outside and it's been sitting there for a week and it's rained and yeah, the basement smelled like that. It was myself, the fine young lady that I was seeing at the time, another couple, and that was it. And they had 5 comedians. So, Joe, the audience outnumbered the comedians.
I've been that way. I've been to places like that.
And When they got to the headliner, if he did a joke and none of the four of us laughed, he would just look and go, why the hell am I here? Is this what my life's become? I think he was having an existential crisis while performing his routine. And even when I would go to open mic nights back in the early 90s, there were more people there. But the kind of comics that we talk about are not, you know, stand-up comics.
Mm-mm.
We talk about funny books.
We do.
Comic books.
Oh, hang on a second. God dang it, I'm so tired of this. You guys, get out of here. Stop. We're trying to podcast here. What's the matter with you guys? Go somewhere else. I know you're up there. Get out of here. Son of a... Oh, God, I'm tired. Sorry. I those damn FBI planes. Every time we start a podcast, they're overhead recording it. You guys download it like the rest of them. They just want to sneak a peek at what's going on. Ain't happening. Oh, sorry, I just had to shoo one of their planes away. I'm sorry, what were we talking
about? How could you tell when you're in the basement? I know, I'm breaking kayfabe, aren't
I? Oh, well, you know, you wear the tinfoil hands and you leave your pants off. You notice all sorts of things.
So what sort of comics did you read the last week or so?
Well, funny you should ask. I have a pile sitting right here.
Well, Joe, you're supposed to clean that up before you podcast.
Oh, okay, well, hang on. There, okay, now I've got my comics.
Oh, good.
My good buddy Pete Krause teamed up again with Mark Wade. Mark.
There are more than one of them.
And they're doing a comic through IDW called Insufferable. Good issue. Pete's art is always up to snuff. Near as I can tell after reading it, it's apparently this used to be a team that broke up. I don't know if it's like a Batman Robin type team or something like that. Hence the word Insufferable. The two don't necessarily like each other. But I don't want to give away too much because as you read through the issues and you read what Mark writes in the back, you know, kind of the introduction thing, it was fun. I mean, it's the same team that did Insufferable earlier, and I enjoyed that thoroughly. So I'm looking forward to see where they go and what they do with this. I'm rereading Amazing Man. I believe we talked about that a couple podcasts ago. The only bummer I have about this is because the issues are from 1986, they're on that really old newsprint, and it's not holding up very well over time. You know, it's fading, the colors are gone, which is a shame because the artwork was really fantastic. But, you know, if I get myself in a bright white light that might fight tight night sight lights, I can really enjoy the comic, you know. Unlike nowadays, you kids got that fancy paper that'll never fade and, you know. So, see, what else did I pick up? I read the last issue of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I've been enjoying more than the TV series, only because it's they did something in this issue that I've always thought you should naturally do. Use the entire Marvel Universe. I don't know if you want to throw up a spoiler warning, but it is last month's comic, so I guess we don't have to worry about it. But apparently the dreaded Dormu has done something, enslaved Doctor Strange, and he's got this virusy thing coming over that's turning everybody on Earth into mindless ones, starting with the smartest minds available. So naturally all the sorcerers, Dr. Doom, Reed Richards, Tony Stark, they're already mindless ones. So as they work their way down, you don't have the smart people to pull your ass out of the fire. So Coulson and friends end up going to the dark dimension, and they bring over a villain who is probably the only one available that can stop this. They bring over Crusher Creel, the Absorbing Man, who, of course, the first thing that happens, he gets clubbed by a mindless one. Now he's as tough as the dark dimension itself and proceeds to kick the living shit out of the dreaded Dormu.
That's Dormammu.
I call it submariner. You call it submariner. It doesn't matter.
does to me.
Yeah, but you're a geek. Come to think of it, so am I. This is the type of thing that needs to happen more often in the Marvel Universe. You know, if you're going to be played in a shared universe, you have to be kind of aware of everything. I mean, so they used to kind of throw little, I don't know, gimmies out to people. Well, where's the Justice League? Well, they're off on a deep space mission. One of these days, someone could do a comic book just on JLA's deep space missions. But, you know, it's just, and it's something that I didn't even see coming. So I was actually thrilled with the way they came across it. You know, that I thought it was kind of cool. Lest I go on and on about what I like, Corey, let's do round robin. What are some of the comics you read that you liked?
Well, there was one that you told me I had to read for the podcast. Yes.
And that's on the bottom of the list. So let me go all the way to the bottom.
So when I got home from work, it's box day today.
I had my box show up on Saturday.
Yeah, mine was late for some reason.
Which again was kind of depressing because had I actually failed my tests and become unemployed, I could have stayed home and enjoyed my box day. But then again, I couldn't have afforded to buy other box days. My life's just a conundrum.
It would have been the last box day.
No, I have. I'd at least have one or two more, but I wouldn't be ordering new ones.
Now, if it were not for the for your orders, mein Capitan, I would have read the Savage Sword of Conan trade paperback that was in there, because they have finally gotten to where Roy Thomas came back to Conan. And because John Buscema liked working with Roy Thomas so much, John Buscema started working on Savage Sword of Conan again. And I've talked in the past how Roy Thomas, if you get him off comics where he has to draw cars and buildings and you know, modern stuff, if you put him on things where he's drawing people on with horses and he gets to design the buildings and monsters and stuff, he's really happy. So his art takes like a huge step up. Instead, I read Convergence, and we'll talk about it in more detail, but I'm going to give you my quick review. I like what they did, but boy, the story just wasn't any fun to read at all. It hopped around from place to place and people to people, and they didn't explain stuff, and it took a couple issues before I realized, oh, these are the Earth 2 characters, and they had all this stuff from the Warlord series, which I don't think there was a Warlord series in the New 52, was there, Joe? Joe?
Oh, sorry, I had my mute on. I was doing ungodly things to a dog with a fork. No, I don't think they had.
And they didn't really introduce the characters for Warlord. And it was one of those where after a while I went, okay, I haven't read Warlord in years. I need to go to Wikipedia to remember who's this person, who's that person, why does this person say she's Lord of the Cat People? And I've talked in the past, I don't like the premise of the heroes must kill. They have no choice. We have boxed them in, and they absolutely must kill. So they will fight, and they will kill. And the first half seemed to introduce that, and then you had to go and read all the tie-ins, which I'm not going to read all the tie-ins tonight. So it was like they introduced the stuff, and then they showed, like, people watching TV of it going on. But there was a lot of running around and a lot of chaos and a lot of this and a lot of that. And then they kept teasing that the main villain, what was his name?
Telos.
Telos. They kept teasing that Telos was someone we knew. And in the middle of this, he's being tortured. And I'm going to remember who I am. I'm going to remember who I am. And then the next issue, it's not touched on again at all. And the next issue, it's not touched on again at all. And again, I went to the Wikipedia because it's, did I miss it? Did I not understand it? Nope. By the time I got to issue 8, it's, I know who I am and now I need to leave.
so long, I must be going.
So he knows who he is, and we got this huge tease as to who he is, but they don't tell us. And then Parallax shows up. You know, when Hal Jordan went crazy and killed everybody.
Which I actually thought was kind of cool. Mainly because
where did he come from?
Well, see, what you're forgetting is the beginning of this. They discover that this is basically Brainiac has been going on a cosmic shopping spree, grabbing little bits of reality from all the multiverses. So he happened to grab, I don't know, how many tie-ins were there? Those are each little pockets of these universes.
Yes.
And I only read one of the crossovers, the Shazam one, which I enjoyed because they actually go back and they refer to the Shazam from the 1970s, which explained why Shazam disappeared for 20 years. The bad guy put him in a space bubble, blah, blah, blah. So they're basically tying in all the old continuity with the new. The problem was every crossover in these crossovers is the same. You're going to get to these pocket universes. There is something stopping the heroes from using their powers to get out. So they've been trapped in these bubbles, for a better word, for however long until Telos decides, okay, you're all going to fight each other. Boom, you got your powers back. Which led
fight.
To a pretty cool revelation in the Shazam one where the bad guys suddenly realize Billy Batson's got his powers back and he just looks up, Shazam. And the next page, kaboom, you see the transformation in a gorgeous one-page spread. But I didn't read them all, but reading Tony Isabella's review of it, he said every issue is that way. So
yeah.
It's kind of like if you read one crossover fight, you've read them all. It'll be fun if you haven't seen the Shazam, which we haven't since, I don't know, when did Adventure Comic Digest stop publishing? Way back in
83,
yeah.
I believe.
So we haven't seen this version of Shazam. Well, actually, probably since the Crisis, because a lot of these characters disappeared during the Crisis or during Flashpoint. One of the realities they had Parallax in it. Believe it or not, Parallax had to have been depowered. And then as soon as the power was out, led to that one page where, as Telos is busy making his grand announcement, which is what appears in all the other issues, Parallax goes, ah, there you are. I can see you. And I'm like, oh, wow. And then, of course, as Telos was about ready to lay the smack it down on the heroes, Parallax came out of nowhere and just grabbed his hand and go, I don't think so. So to me, that was actually kind of a cool moment, one of those moments that only you can get in comic books, just the last minute save from somebody who we've already seen before. Because you're kind of wondering why everybody else is scratching their head listening to this magic voice telling them, you can now get your powers, you can fight now. Except he's like, I see you. And again, I'll read the Parallax crossover one of these days. Again, I read the Shazam and it sounds like it's the same plot as you get through it. So, anyways. I liked Parallax. I liked the fact that it was the I want to redeem myself side of Parallax. It would have been maybe more interesting if it was the crazy part.
Yeah, that was the thing about Zero Hour. I remember when Zero Hour came out, I was very frustrated because one of the problems I had with Hal Jordan turning evil wasn't that, okay, he turned evil.
No.
It's that,
he's evil.
Okay.
He just snapped.
They would constantly tease us with, oh, he's going to get better. He's going to get better. He's going to get better. He's going to get, oh, no, wait, no, he isn't. Kind of like Bobby Heenan calling a wrestling match. One, two, he beat him. No, he didn't. He beat him. No, he didn't. And Zero Hour was kind of like the big Dusty Rhodes finish for comics because in it, he says, look, I figured it out. I can bring the multiverse back. I can bring it back. We're going to be able to do it. We'll be able to save all these lives. It'll be wonderful. And the heroes were like, no, you can't. We must stop you. Why? just because the story, just because DC doesn't want a multiverse back, but you set it up where, oh, this is how Jordan redeems himself and, you know, blah, 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 and the heroes are fighting against him. Okay, that doesn't make any sense at all.
He did, the story he did, kind of. He did tie up Parallax saying, no, no, no more Zero.
Yes, he did.
So that was kind of a nice little throw out there. But I can't help but think, and maybe I'm jumping ahead, if you had never read Zero Hour, it made no sense.
Right. This was a book for people who've been reading DC since Crisis. I haven't been reading the New 52. The grim and gritty kind of left me dry. I've come back for some of the books, like Batgirl's really awesome, and some of the others. Some of the others have been good. So really, I like the fact that it didn't tie in with the New 52 much at all. You know, our lead characters were the New Justice Society and the New Earth 2. I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. It felt like a really good story outline that just didn't come together well. And rather than a story where this happens that leads to this, which happened leads to this, which leads to this, it really felt like here's a bunch of stuff that happened. And because the plots are kind of similar with Secret Wars, I'll do a parallel with Secret Wars where the first issue is the heroes are trying to save everything and they fail. And the second issue, rather than we're going to go here, we're going to go here, we're going to introduce, they pick one story, one group of characters, one plot line, and use that to explain where we are and what has happened and what this new world is like. Other than the all right, Brainiac has captured one city from every universe that's been destroyed, and now they got to fight. I really didn't feel that thread. I don't know if it was because the story was too busy. I don't know if it's because they expected you to read the tie-ins.
That's probably
but it.
Yeah.
Really didn't hang together as a story, unlike I reread Crisis over the weekend to get ready for this because I'd heard what the thing was. When you read Crisis, it has the tie-ins and stuff. But Marv Wolfman sets the stage. He explains what's going on. He gives you the stakes. He gives you the character bits. He and George Perez are able to do the big crowd scenes with a whole bunch of characters and a whole bunch of stuff going on, and you can follow the flow. This, there were, on some issues, there were six artists. So it would be the stylistic change from page to page, and characters wouldn't look the same, and if it weren't for the costume, you wouldn't know who they were. There really wasn't a flow. Then we get to the big conclusion at the end. And I like the idea, and I'm interested in where it will go, and here is your spoiler warning!
Dun, dun, dun.
They've undone Crisis. They didn't explain how they undid Crisis because they, for some reason, there's the crisis, pre-Crisis Supergirl and the pre-Crisis Flash. And it's okay, you guys have to go back and die in the Crisis. And now, whatever happened in the Crisis didn't happen. The multiverse is back.
Which means we'll have to wait till someone who's a better scribe than current comes
yes.
up with that story. More importantly, like you said, the multiverse is back. And just like Grant Morrison and Alan Moore have been saying all along, it all happened.
Yes.
See, now don't you feel stupid for quarterboxing all your old DC comics before pre-52?
I'm going to point people toward two articles online. One is on Bleeding Cool, and it is called How DC Comics Got Its Happiness Back. And I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes. And this article by Rich Johnson talks about how since the New 52 started, there's kind of been this editorial thing where most of the editors who were close with Bob Harris, who had a lot of the power and control, were very much in comics need to be grim and gritty. We need to be dark. We need to be, you know, they wanted to go back to that early to mid-90s feel of, you know, comics are grim and gritty. And yet there were other creators who wanted to do stories that were a little lighter, a little more fun. And internally, it was called a battle between grim and gritty and light and brighty, which I find hilarious. And the grim and gritty folks, because they, you know, you had Bob Harris and Bobby Chase as kind of the two people with the most power when it came to DC editorial, they come from that school. They were the ones who were winning. But now that something has happened with them moving out to LA, where they're lightening up many of the comics and they're going to try things that aren't in that grim and gritty mode. And a lot of it is because Batgirl was supposed to be this little 6-issue thing. It's like, okay, we're going to change Batgirl. It's going to lead into Convergence, and then we'll be done with the Batgirl series. It'll be over. Let Cameron Stewart and his guys just kind of do what they want. And they were amazed. At first, sales went up, which doesn't happen much. But the one thing that I've heard, and I heard it around the convention, is that the digital sales on the Batgirl comic really shot up. So it was people who were buying it on their iPad and buying it on their Android tablet and buying it off of iTunes and stuff who don't go into comic shops were picking up this new Batgirl book. And they really think when it's in a trade and they put it in like bookstores and Amazon and Barnes & Noble, it's going to do well there. So the people who are fighting against the grim and gritty have been able to say, look, we need to do all kinds of comics. We can't just have everything read the same. And I'm very excited for the fact that now that Convergence is over, you know, they're introducing some new books. Most of them will probably fail because DC has not been able to relaunch anything since the New 52. But I'm excited to see that they're going to be doing different things. It's not all going to be reading like the X-Men from 1994.
Not that we're saying the X-Men from 1994 was crap.
Yes, I am.
Okay, we are. But
you know, it's, you go back and read those books and tell me they make any goddamn sense.
Apparently in Secret Wars you can, but we're not there yet.
No. They're bringing back the X-Men from 92.
Crap. Never last.
The other article is the latest Tilting at Windmills, which is a column by Brian Hibbs, where he talks about having to order these things. And the thing that blew me away, he was talking about the Convergence tie-ins, and you know, he goes by pre-orders, like most shops. Joe, the number one Convergence tie-in, how many pre-orders do you think it got at Brian Hibbs' store, which is one of the bigger stores in San Francisco?
Knowing him, probably 20.
Lower.
Lower. That's good enough for me.
Five. Five people signed up for one of the Convergence books. I don't remember what one. Five. And he was just throwing up his hands, and he was asking the customers, and they said, it's 2-issue miniseries. They're not going to matter. Now, I picked out the ones that were by creators I like. Oh, look, Marv Wolfman's doing a Teen Titans book. Kelly Jones is drawing a Swamp Thing book.
And I had enough where I ordered so many because of, like you said, the creators. I wanted to see these characters that I just took discount comic book service offer, was it like 60-50% off if you ordered the whole thing? So I did that. I think it was like, what, $50 or something? I don't remember.
Oh, I don't remember. It was huge.
Yeah. So I just went. So I've got the whole thing, and as I read through them, I imagine I'll comment about them. But the only one I read so far was the Shazam, which I talked about.
I don't know. I understand why they did the convergence the way they did. DC wanted to have books in the can for when they're moving their offices from New York.
Which I appreciate because I like having their books in my can.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing? Thank you. Joe will be performing in the Comedy Corner later this week.
Try the veal.
But I would think as a shop, these sort of things, we've talked about before when Marvel did the month of flashbacks, how sales on Marvel were just in the toilet and fans were like, oh good, it's a month I don't have to buy Marvel. None of these stories matter. Or the silent issues. I was amazed that people were the month of silent issues. People went, ah, good. I don't have to buy these. Look, they're in the series. It's not like the zero issues or the negative one issues or any of that. Nah, I want to buy a silent comic. I'll read it in 3 minutes. But the silent issue of G.I. Joe's the second most expensive one. Nah, I don't care. And here's the other sales thing, because, Joe, you know I'm fascinated by comic sales. The month before Convergence and Secret Wars started was the highest-selling month, dollar-wise, in comics since 2006. Hmm. You remember Civil War?
Wasn't very civil.
No, but it sold a lot of comics. Mm-hmm. Comics, especially the new first issues and stuff, like Spider-Gwen sold almost 200,000 copies. People are coming back. And I wonder if something like this, I hope it doesn't stunt the momentum. But myself, I'm reading the Secret Wars stuff, and I have yet to read one of the Secret Wars books I haven't liked. And we'll talk about the one that I really liked that surprised me when we get to freaking and geeking. So when I go through the Convergence stuff, I hope that I'm happily surprised. I do know that when I read the first week of Convergence books, and it really felt like it was, oh, here's the hero, and they don't have any powers, and this is what their life is like now. And then we get the 5-page sequence of them being told they all have to kill somebody. And they get their powers back. Hooray! And that's the end of the issue. Really? That's it?
Yeah.
You've only got 2 issues. Get that done in 3 pages and tell a story.
Of course, on the other hand, DC may be taking these comic 2-issue things and looking to see which ones sell, which ones get critical review, and then maybe shopping out saying, you know, guys, maybe we should have a Shazam book out. Seemed to sell pretty well. Or maybe it's just to get people's juices going, because now you could do stories on any part of the DC universe you want, whether it's New 52 or Zero Hour or whatever, and just go to town with it. Or you can do like I do and just kind of ignore it all.
I'll really be interested to see, because one of the problems with checking the sales would be, well, it's 2 issues. Nobody knew what it was going to be when it came out. So the stores kind of, and there weren't pre-orders, so stores didn't order a whole lot. Would it be, okay, this one got a lot of reorders, or this one got a lot of attention, or what? 2 issues doesn't seem like long enough to really know anything.
True. Yeah, I think it's pandering to, like me, who remembers the Shazam characters from the 70s and all the way back into the Golden Age. You know, because that was one of the few, like I said, out of all the crossovers, that was the one I was really excited about. I pre-ordered the one that had the pre-crisis Supergirl, the Teen Titans written by Marv Wolfman. I was intrigued by it was a World's Finest that had the 7 Soldiers of Victory in it, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the Justice Society, and that's when I finally figured out everything I wanted, then I got to the point where, screw it, I'll just order the whole thing.
That's one thing about Discount Comic Book Service, who has yet to buy an ad, so we shouldn't plug them too much, but they put together these bundles that it's, oh, you know what, I'll give it a try. because it's 50 to 60% off.
Or like what's coming up when Fred Hembeck, he's going to have a bunch of variant covers for Marvel.
You're buying them all, aren't you?
If there's a, I'm either going to buy them or just go ahead and get the bundle if they have it.
Oh, you kids and your variants.
I know. I went nuts. I got all the, well, see, it would have been a lot easier had Dana told me she wanted all the Harley Quinn variants, because I could have just ordered it all from Discount Comic Book Service instead of trying to fight my way through, order one off eBay, get one from iComics, get the most of them through the source. And then when the movie variants came out, I saw enough of those, were like, dang, those are kind of fun. So I just ordered all those. My goal is to eventually read these just as standalone and maybe give you guys an idea what they were like, you know, because we talk about that off and on. Everybody's comic is somebody's first. Jim Shooter talked about that. And if you make it inaccessible to that person, they may not come back.
It's also their last. Yeah.
You know, and that was even the thing with Convergence. I was reading, I just went and I just kind of read it the way I would go to like a giant box office movie. Just, it's a roller coaster. Let's see where they go with it. And although I didn't know everybody, I kind of followed along. I didn't read Earth 2. I tried. It didn't catch my interest. And I know what's been going on in Earth 2, especially as it pertains to the upcoming Dark Side Anti-Monitor War. But I just kind of let it, you know, I kind of figured out, oh, okay, that's who Superman is. Okay, this is Dick Grayson. Yeah, yeah. So I just kind of followed along and discovered it as I went. The danger in doing all this is, you know, you're going to be, well, that's not the Dick Grayson I remember, and put the book back. Especially if they don't give you a beginning inside the front cover thing, you know. This is what's going on. This is what's happened. This is why you should care.
Yes. I don't know why DC's against that.
Did they do that in the 80s with or 90s with Mr. Harris?
No, Marvel didn't do it. It was one of the things that was introduced after he left Marvel.
Okay, so that might be, again, his thing. He doesn't believe in it, because he certainly could do it.
Yeah. Well, we got us an email, Joe.
We did?
Yes. Ooh. Michael Carter emailed us.
Well, thank you, Mike. Anyways, the next... Oh, I suppose you want to go talk about what he talked about.
Well, yeah. Because, Joe, we're a national treasure. And as a national treasure, we need to be responsive to our listeners.
Oh, bullshit. I'm broke. Flat broke. I can't be that much of a treasure.
I am a national treasure, then. You tag along. But I am a national treasure.
To our 13 listeners, of which Jerry is one, go to your medicine cabinet and just grab something randomly and send it to me. I'll give you the address later.
Michael Carter writes...
Kids, do not ask your parents' permission before you do that.
It is my unfortunate duty to have to inform you that upon the release of the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Book of the Dead edition, cover date February 1982, the following Marvel comic characters are no longer with us.
He said duty.
In alphabetical order, except the first one he's got wrong. The Zombie. Simon Garth, The Zombie.
Hey, remember that issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. I talked about?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in there.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
Airwalker. I think Airwalker's still dead.
Pretty much dissembled, if I remember right.
Baron Blood. Baron Blood's come back a few times.
Yeah.
Baron Strucker.
Strucker. Ooh, sorry.
I think he's still dead. Baron Zemo 1. That would be the one from the 40s.
Yep.
And the one that killed Bucky. Bucky! Bessie the Hellcow.
Moo.
Well, Bessie the Hellcow was undead. But still, I don't think they've brought back Bessie the Hellcow. Bloodstone. Ulysses Bloodstone. He's dead, but his daughter is now the Monster Hunter. And they keep trying to make her happen, but no one seems to care.
Yeah, even though she's got the stone, she's stoned.
Deathstalker.
Weren't there a couple of those?
Daredevil villain.
Ah.
He was a Daredevil villain. He rode a he rode a horse skeleton, and if he touched you, you died.
That could really bring you down.
Well, and that's kind of hard, because if that's his only attack, it's like, okay, well, you know, if he touches the hero's dead and the story's over.
What if you cut his hands off?
I don't know. I wonder if he could headbutt you and kill you. Dracula! Yeah, Dracula's alive again, and now he's a supervillain.
Never last.
With the skin-tight costume and everything.
I know.
I really hate the new version of Dracula. I really hate the new version of Dracula. Oh, Marvel's really trying to make it happen. It was one of the bad guys in the latest Avengers cartoon. He was part of the Red Skull's group of bad guys. Yeah, it's pretty goddamn terrible. Fool Killer! The original Fool Killer is still dead, but they have brought back the character as different people from time to time. Gamora! Yeah, she's dead. Oh, wait, no, she was in a movie.
Yep.
Korvac! Korvac was the bad guy in the Guardians 3000 story.
And he has his own series during the Secret Wars.
Yes.
But then again, Omega. Everything in Secret Wars that may or may not last. We'll see what happens.
Yes. Omega! They did a second Omega miniseries, but the character in the Marvel Universe, not only dead, but the wrap-up of the story was god-awful, made no sense, and Steve Gerber said, no, that's not how I would have done it. The Patriot! He's still dead, but every so often somebody in his costume shows up in wrestling. The Phantom Eagle... He was the World War I flying ace that Herb Trimpe drew, and he's coming back in Secret Wars. Going to be written by Garth Ennis.
Yes, I read that issue. Fun.
Red Guardian? I think Red Guardian's dead. I don't think they're bringing back a lot of commie supervillains. Here's Michael's favorite, Seaman Ray Blarney Stone. Oh, there's so many horrible jokes. He was one of the Leatherneck Raiders from Captain Savage and his Leatherneck Raiders.
I keep forgetting this is podcasting, so you can't really see my grimace right now.
The other team members of Captain Savage's group during World War II, it was Private Lee Baker, who was killed in action, Corporal Jacques Larocque. Joe, can you tell what stereotype he was?
Canadian, I think.
Yeah, French. Very, very French. Private J. Little Bear. Seaman Roy Blarney Stone. He was Irish. And Sergeant Sam Yakety Yates, who talked a lot. Yeah, they put a lot of thought into those characters. The Spirit of 76, who got to be Captain America for, I don't know, one what-if issue. Toro, he's dead. No, he's alive. No, he's dead. No, he's alive. No, he's dead.
Well, he was
no,
coughing
he's alive.
Up blood last week.
And half the time where they say he's alive, we find out at the end of the story it really wasn't him. And
he got better.
They should just make up their mind. It's kind of like the original Human Torch. I've read so many comics where the original Human Torch is dead, and then he turns up alive, and then in the next story, they ignore the fact that they brought him back once, and they bring him back again. The Whizzer.
That was the diabetes guy, right?
No, that was the hero who peed on everything.
Yeah, no, same guy. Yeah, spokesperson for diabetes.
The Whizzer got his powers from getting an injection of mongoose blood, and he was able to run as fast as the Flash did in his comic, because he was pretty much the Flash in a yellow costume. But, yes, he got an injection of mongoose blood.
Mongoose blood, that's potent stuff.
Because, you know, when you think world's fastest animal, Joe, what do you think? Mongoose.
I was going to say the giant three-toed sloth, but apparently I'm not up to date on this stuff.
No. And the last of the heroes that he points out to us, Zuras. Do you know who Zuras was, Joe?
No, and I'm not digging through 300 boxes of comics to find out.
Zuras were one of the eldest sons of Kronos, the leader of the first generation of the race known as the Eternals.
Eternals.
And to be honest, I don't know if they've brought him back, and I even though it's a Kirby character, I doubt I could find it within me to care.
Unless Garth Ennis is going to write a three-page miniseries.
Three-page miniseries. One, there you go.
Might be one page too much.
You know what? Not every Kirby character was meant to sustain a series.
Oh, the hurtful things you say.
Yes, I know. One of the things I find really interesting, I read an interview with Dan Slott today about his part of Secret Wars, which is the Spider-Man story. He says that when he looks back over his career writing Spider-Man, the only Spider-Man he never got to write was a married Spider-Man, and now he gets to do it. And this may be, and they were asked, you know, in the interview, of course, they were asking, you know, well, what's coming up for this? What's coming up for this? And he said, I can't tell you anything that's coming up, including if I am writing Spider-Man when Secret Wars is over. If Dan Slott leaves Spider-Man, I'm going to be sad.
I would like to share with you quite possibly the greatest supervillain hero fight scene of all times. And I don't think I need to, because comics are visual medium, I think I can pretty much do it anyways. It's the new Lobo versus Giganta, the giant goddess. So obviously Lobo has made some comment about the giant breasts that Giganta has. So she picks him up, puts him in between her breasts, squeezes them together, and we have half a panel of jiggle, 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 jiggle. She pulls out a much crushed Lobo and says, hold it right there now. I'm going to show you what we do to male chauvinist bugs. Puts him down and squash with her fist. I'm telling you, if we had more fight scenes like that, comics medium would just, we'd sell out.
You know, that is a little better than my favorite fight scene in comics. Joe, have I told you what my favorite fight scene in comics is?
What's that?
It's in Howard the Duck number 16.
Oh?
It is about a Las Vegas showgirl and her pet ostrich versus an evil lampshade.
I don't know.
Because, as Steve Gerber was writing, Howard the Duck 16 is a series of essays, and when he gets to a certain page, he goes, because this is a Marvel comic, it has to have a fight scene. So here's a fight scene of a Las Vegas showgirl and her pet ostrich versus a sentient lampshade. And, of course, you're going, wow, that's crazy. He turned that into an 8-issue Vertigo miniseries called Nevada. I love me some Steve Gerber. Now, one of the things, it was a segment of the show that I started, and we haven't done it since. And I'm going to explain why we haven't done it since. Joe, do you remember the segment, Oh My God, the 90s Actually Happened?
It was in the 90s, wasn't it?
Well, no, it was in this here podcast. But we talked about horrible, horrible comics of the 90s. You know why I'm not doing it anymore?
Oh, well, we found a website where some guy's actually digging out these stuff out of the quarter boxes and reviewing it.
Yes, the Crap Box of Son of Cthulhu, which is at crapboxofcthulhu.blogspot.com. The person who writes the website says, I found a stash of comics bought in my preteen years. They varied in quality of the stories they contain. When I began collecting and protecting comics back in the 80s, I dubbed that grouping the Crap Box. Books that had sentimental value but no money value. A few years ago, I discovered at Half Price Book and Magazine, big bundle packs of 30 comic books with questionable companies thrown in. I bought 3 packs, and lo, the Crap Box was reborn. Now, some of the comics he's reviewing are comics that I've liked. Go Girl. I liked Go Girl. I thought Trina Robbins did a really nice comic that really felt like kind of a golden age comic, superhero comic aimed at girls. But then we get to books like Robin plus Fang, where Robin teams up with Fang from the DC team comic Scare Tactics. Joe, you remember Scare Tactics, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You're the one.
Well, I had to order them from my shop.
Scare Tactics was a comic I had completely forgotten about until I read this review. It's like, oh yeah, I remember that. It was terrible. He goes through these 90s books, and yes, the writing is very snarky, but God, he's right about this stuff. Like Secret Defenders number 2. Oh my God, what a terrible piece of crap. Rock and Roll Comics number 2, the one about Metallica. I worked at Shinders when this thing came out, and I couldn't believe people bought it because I opened it up and looked in, and I'd seen better drawings from the kid who sat next to me in math class in his spiral bound notebook. And when you would read it later, you'd laugh at how stupid they were in writing the book. My favorite is how they talk about how the band didn't mind if people taped their concerts and felt that, you know, the music should be free and accessible to everyone. You know, Metallica, the ones who did the first lawsuit against file sharing. They want their music to be free and available to everyone. Obviously, you never talked to any members of the band before you wrote that, did you? But we are putting, oh my God, the 90s happened to sleep.
Aw. Well, because that's okay. Somebody's doing it better.
Yes, somebody is doing it better. But instead,
it doesn't mean that as I dig through my piles of comics, I won't pull one out and randomly talk about it.
Well, yeah, that's just us talking comics.
Somewhere, you know, the end of the podcast, which will happen probably about 2074, will be, Corey, I finally got every issue of my comic collection bagged and in alphabetical order and numerical sequence. And then I'll drop dead from a heart attack.
Either that or you'll find out you're missing one book from Malibu.
Come!
We're coming up on episode 200.
Woohoo!
We ought to do something for that.
We should invite Mick Jagger to do stop by. He's in town, you know. He actually went to the North Loop bookstore, which carries rare prints and rare books and things like that. Wouldn't that be cool to look up and like see someone like Mick Jagger in your store? Would you even believe it was him?
No. I would think it was a 90-year-old British woman.
Well, he has all his
crickets like that.
He has all his teeth.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, we think he has all his teeth. They could be dentures. We don't know.
True.
We have no proof. But there's one section of the show that will never, ever go away.
What's that?
Ever, 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 ever.
What's that?
We will do it until we die. Well, until you die and I have to do this show by myself or find another co-host. Yeah. Freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, I was going to freak more about the TSA bashing, but I will.
You already did that.
Talk a little bit about that in geeking. Instead, you know, I bought me here a new truck. It's going in the shop.
Already?
Yep. Apparently when I plug in the seatbelt, it doesn't register that my seatbelt is. So the little light pops on. And then of course, every 100 feet, bing, 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 bing. Now, to just demonstrate how annoying this is, I'm going to do this for the rest of the podcast.
No, bing, you're bing, not. Bing.
Well, neither's my truck, because it's going in the shop tomorrow.
Damn right. Ugh. Now, Joe, it could be worse.
Could be raining, which it will be tomorrow.
Rather than the bing, 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 it could be wee-oo, 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 wee-oo.
Hey, fool, put on your put on your seatbelt. What's the matter with you? Want to go through the windshield? Other than that,
what else you freaked out?
That's pretty much it. I mean, it, you know, after getting past my testing and, you know, apologizing for my wife for being such an utter bitch for an entire week. I mean, me, not her. I you got to qualify that because I know she doesn't listen, but somehow she'd find out.
Well, yeah. And you would pay.
Oh, that's pretty much it. Corey, what are you freaking out? What's got you down in the dumps? What's got you itching worse than a naked man in a poison ivy patch?
I have a list.
Oh, sweet bejesus.
First off, I am juggling a lot of work because the, quote, full-time job, unquote, is not full-time. And every time I ask the people at the temp agency, they say, oh, yeah, they tell you you're doing great. They really like what you're doing. And because of that, they're going to give you more hours. Because I'm not getting full-time at my full-time job,
mm-hmm.
I'm having to pick up a lot of odd shifts at the group home. I'm picking up afternoons. I'm picking up odd evenings. I'm going to be working Friday evenings a couple of times. I'm going to be working every weekend forever until I finally am full-time at the full-time job or I find something that is full-time. So I'm kind of, if you look at my Google Calendar, it looks like Frankenstein. Because it's just patchwork crap all over the place.
Be my Frankenstein.
When I read Brian Hibbs' column on how he's ordering Convergence and how he's ordering Secret Wars, I got to admit, I was freaking because we're coming. Comics are just, sales are going up. They've been going up year after year since the New 52. Now, some of the stuff that I enjoy, like Vertigo and other things, are flattening out or are going down. And kind of your B-level characters at Marvel and DC can't seem to maintain sales. So there's a lot less of that. But across the line, there are more comics that are selling between 7 and 20,000. So a lot of your Image stuff, a lot of your Dark Horse stuff, a lot of your IDW stuff, a lot of your indie stuff is actually doing, it's actually holding its own, and it's bringing in more people, so it's driving the comics market. Now, I don't know if comic shops are getting as much of this money or if it's more places like Discount Comic Book Service and Westfield and the places who do mail order. But I really hope that these big events bring people in rather than make people go, I'm done. And that's always my worry because, as we said, every comic is somebody's first comic, but also every comic is somebody's last. And there are a lot of people who, oh, George Perez is leaving Wonder Woman. Well, good, I don't have to buy that book anymore. When a major creator's run on a book ends, sales always drop. And even if the next group of creators is good, it takes time to recover. So, and then the last thing is that, and remember this for when I get to geeking, I am really bored at work. I've gone through all the trainings that are accessible to me. I've been, the documentation I've read so many times that I can't read it anymore. So I have a lot of downtime between calls. Joe, what are you geeking on? What are you loving? What's got you excited?
Caitlyn Jenner's kind of hot.
You know, here's my whole thought on the Caitlyn Jenner thing. Isn't 65 a little too old to be spelling your name C-A-I-T-L-Y-N?
I don't know.
That's a spelling for someone in their 20s.
I don't know, someone in their 20s goes to the pubs every night.
That's not the spelling for a senior citizen.
In fact, I had to ask her, since your name's Caitlin, are you going to be changing it to Bruce?
Quit putting the unnecessary Y in your name, people. It's so 90s. And we already said, oh my God, the 90s actually happened.
On the plus side, we're getting some of those new airport security requirements coming down the pike. Apparently now we're simply going to stand at the checkpoint and remind passengers that we all die someday. This is courtesy of The Onion. Ooh, thank God for The Onion, otherwise I would tear what little of my hair out. So naturally,
you have hair left?
What I did is I put this on a website where people talk TSA stuff. It's a closed site, so people are on there are probably just TSA. So I put it on there, and the first guy up gets it because he puts a picture of Jack Nicholson smoking a cigarette going, there will be haters, non-believers, fakes, fucks, and doubters. And then there will be me, not giving a fuck. The next person, utterly indignant, unbelievable. The second person, such a bullshit article, nowhere near the truth. The third one, okay, again, I call BS. And then I kind of, guys, okay, much as I like to see everyone lose their shit, The Onion is a satire site. In all seriousness, I probably should have just let it go, because it could have been our whole podcast next time, how people lose their shit. I mean, I've had people before do that, where it's like, I'll post something, oh my God, that's terrible. And I'll have to, like, you know, tap them on the internet shoulder and go, you know, The Onion is a satire site. Damn it. Maybe I shouldn't have said something. I should just let that one go overnight. As far as other things I've read, it was Box Day. I pretty much plowed through almost everything. The first thing I read, again, Knights of the Dinner Table, they're going through a storyline where apparently the game becomes a bit cosmic, and it's invited in all sorts of people, characters we haven't seen since the beginning of the book, and it also invites in, what the heck do they call that guy, Gary... The big guy who makes Hackmaster. Apparently he comes up all the way down to crash the game. So, and it's not over yet. It resolved a few issues, but it's not over yet. I mean, I just couldn't wait. I had to read it. Other ones I plowed through. I liked the John Byrne photoshopped New Vision story. This one's called
Resistance.
And as it takes place in the original series universe, you know they're not going to reveal too much. Although the geek in me kept thinking, you know, they're in the outer rim. They're on the edge of the beta quadrant, or I'm sorry, delta quadrant, as they're encountering what we recognize as a small Borg circle that's kind of been depowered. And they're pretty much, I think, out of range of Starfleet. Otherwise, maybe Starfleet would have sent them a notice saying, yeah, we kind of know about these things. We have ever since back when Archer was around, but yeah, it's just too much continuity for everybody. Mark Waid's Empire is out. The second series is called Empire Uprising. Absolutely love this series, even though Pete Krause isn't doing the art. Basically, the premise is the bad guy won. And you can go back, read the original miniseries, and of course, this is revisiting it. And it's another one I must read. Battlestar Galactica, Death of Apollo. Yes, he died. Right. It was a fun series. I mean, I like the original Battlestar Galactica. I don't know where they're going with this after this, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, he died. Whatever. Okay, sure. Still digging the Marvel Star Wars stuff. Archie versus Predator shocked the hell out of me with issue 2. But I'm enjoying it. And of course, the little blurb where they went to go talk to Sabrina and see if she could help out. And she says, well, you know, I've got something that can help, but, you know, it works on everything but zombies. You know, that would be ridiculous, zombies. Whoever sees zombies in real life. Nice little tweet. I'm digging through trying to find my, apparently I didn't bring them downstairs. I'm trying to find my crossovers for, that I read that were tied into Secret Wars. I read Ultimate End, which I've enjoyed again, just because it kind of ties into Secret Wars. 2099 was good. Where Monster Roam, the one we mentioned earlier, the Garth Ennis. That was probably the most unsecret wars of all of them, but it was pretty fun to read. The one I think I'm going to go pick up that I didn't order is Old Man Logan. Because as I read online, as they're talking about it, it sounds like he's kind of the Clint Eastwood of the Battle World area. It just sounds like he's going to be wandering around doing whatever he's doing for whatever reason he wants. I did pick up Infinity Gauntlet number one. Not enough really in the first issue to make me go, holy cow, this is cool, but there's enough in there to keep me reading. And then, of course, Secret Wars number two. I read it back during the con. They had a variant cover of it that I was allowed to open up and read, and now that I got my regular copy. This is a lot of fun. I cannot wait to see where they're going. I'm trying not to get hyper excited like I do with crossovers and go out and buy all the crossovers, because then when it's over, I'm wishing I didn't buy the tie-in to the crossovers. I wish I would have just stuck with the original series. But there are some things, like when they start talking about, what are they calling it, the Thor Core?
Yes.
That is a cool concept, and they've got their own series. I may take a peek at that. And then, of course, as you're looking at the Secret Wars Battle World map, some of the miniseries and the one-shots and whatever only will take place in the tie-ins. And I'm looking at this going, okay, New Quack City. What the hell is going on in there? So, again, I've got Marvel Unlimited.
I know what's going on in there.
I'm going to maybe just hold tight and wait till they show up on Marvel Unlimited. But, I mean, I'm enjoying the Secret Wars crossover, and we're only in month two. Is this biweekly? Or twice a month? Or what is this?
Yes. Okay. Most months are putting out two. I don't know the exact detail, but I remember in each issue of previews, there have been two issues of Secret Wars at least.
Cool. So, I mean, we're only, let's see, three should be out maybe this week. I'll have to go look online. I'm not sure. And the last thing I'm kind of geeking on, I might have mentioned this a while back. I'm reading a book called The Cold War, A New History by John Lewis Gaddis. He's a professor who basically writes extremely wordy, detailed documents about the Cold War. And he was asked by his students, you know, what sort of book should I write? He said, well, write another one about the Cold War without so many words. And this one's actually pretty good. It's winner of the 2006 Harry S. Truman Award. And it's a good history of the Cold War. It's kind of funny because my daughter's studying it and she is bored crapless. You know, just, I can't believe we're reading it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I lived through this. This is my history. Not all of it is, because, you know, born in 65. But it was interesting reading it, because now I'm coming up through where Reagan and Gorbachev and Pope John Paul II. I can't think of that. Who's the gentleman in Poland?
Lech Walesa.
Yes, yes. And Margaret Thatcher. They're in power, and how their worldviews came, not so much like, okay, the Cold War, we've got to keep going and keep the taunt going so that, you know, neither side will destroy each other. Well, these guys came in thinking, you know, this is not the way we want to run the world. But in some cases, you know, Reagan had an idea what he wanted to do. Gorbachev didn't. But it's fun to read, mainly because we survived it. And I'm reading about a piece of history that I was in. And it's a little more interesting to me than, obviously, my daughter now who's studying it. Oh, that's yesterday. I can't recall if I ever said that to my dad. If anything, I remember telling people, you know, I have no idea what the Vietnam War was because we never studied it in grade school or high school. We didn't study the Korean War, although I was vaguely aware of it because of MASH. You know, it was like we got up to World War II. Hold on, before you leave school, I have to tell you how the war ended. Huh? We won! Yay! Hooray! That's pretty much what I've been geeking on. Corey, what are you geeking on? What's got you happy? What's got you so pleased you look up at that FBI plane and go, hey, tits up!
We were talking about the Secret Wars books, one that I didn't think that I would like because I run hot and cold on the character. Joe, have you read Deadpool's Secret Wars?
No.
Deadpool goes to the original Secret Wars.
hang on, let's see. Deadpool Secret Wars. Okay, I'll put that on my list.
It's great in that it makes fun of just how damn stupid the original Secret Wars was. I like when they do that. It reminded me a lot of that Deadpool number 11 where he was put back into an old issue of Spider-Man and would make fun of Harry Osborn's hair and Norman Osborn's hair and all that sort of thing. Like I said, Deadpool's hot and cold. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. This time it really worked, and it picked a target that was really fun. I'm happy about the end of Convergence, because going into it, all the press about it was, we're closing the door on the 52 worlds. We're not going to deal with a multiverse anymore. Meanwhile, Grant Morrison had done Multiversity, which showed just how cool a multiverse is. And I thought, oh, this is just another mistake by DC. But nope, they swerved us. Swerve!
Swerve.
And they brought back the entire multiverse. Just as Marvel destroys theirs.
Well, for now.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple series where they talk about, okay, these, A-Force was one of them. These people know something's wrong. They're going to try to rebuild it. So I'm kind of curious to see where they're going to go with all this.
And you did read an Ultimate End. We found out the beginning of the collapse of the multiverse. Bastards in the Ultimate Universe caused it.
Yeah. And it's their own damn fault.
Sons of bitches.
They should have had a white event. No, wait a minute.
Yep.
That's why we... Never mind.
No, that's what tried to save us, but it was messed up because of what the people in the Ultimate Universe did.
Stupid Ultimate Universe.
I am reading all of Marvel's Star Wars books, and it's everything I've wanted from Star Wars comics for years. I looked at the sales charts. They're all still in the top 10. They are still great to read. Marvel has put kind of their top talent on them. And the other thing that I've been saying for, it feels like decades, it's about the characters we give a damn about. It's about Darth Vader. It's about Princess Leia. It's about Han Solo. It's about Luke Skywalker. It's not about, you know, Bob the Jedi from 5,000 years before Episode 1.
Although it could be.
Or Jocelyn, who's Han Solo's great-grandniece. Nope, these are the characters we want to hear about. Now, they're introducing one that's a new character set between episode 3 and 4. And I'll be interested to see if I like that one or if it's interesting or how well it does. But I like the fact that now that they've kind of said, okay, we're not the extended universe. We're brushing it away. It's back to, all right, here we go. Here are the characters that you know and you want to read more about. It reminds me a lot of the Star Trek books where eventually they got to, these are the engineers from a book series that was connected to it. Well, what about Data? What about Captain Picard? What about Worf? Nobody cares about them anymore.
Never last.
Well, wait, no!
Yeah.
Remember how I said that I was bored at work?
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I had 2 solo podcasts last week.
They must have been solo. I couldn't hear them.
One was a short story that I'd written.
Cool.
Something new. I hadn't done that before. I just wrote a short story and decided, you know what? Rather than try and shop it around and place it somewhere, no, I'll just read it as a podcast. And then I did another of the Kirby podcasts. I have 3 more podcasts, solo podcasts, recorded.
Still potting after all these years.
Because I have so much downtime at work, I've got a notebook and it's like, oh, well, if I'm going to do another podcast on Kirby, I should, you know, boom, 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 writing down my thoughts, getting a format put together. You know that thing I used to send you until you ignored it so much? I said, why am I wasting my time?
No.
So pretty much I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this summer, there's going to be 2 podcasts every week all summer long. So while you're out at the pool, while you're on the elliptical machine, while you're hiking through the middle of nowhere, while you're out at the beach, you get Joe and I twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
You lucky people. And the last thing I am geeking on, Mark Maron, who does the podcast WTF and is a stand-up comedian and has a series on the IFC channel. They're doing the third season of his series, and it is far and away better than the first two, and I like the first two. This season is phenomenal. And you know what I'm hoping, because it's so successful, Joe?
What's that?
They start looking around and going, oh, well, there's a podcast. Let's turn that into a TV series. There's a podcast. They're turning that into a series. Oh, look, it's Z Comics and Stories. Let's turn that into a TV series.
Into a series.
So we could be TV stars.
Woohoo.
Or not.
Or not.
Yeah, we're not getting a whole lot of people watching us on the YouTubes yet.
There's nothing to watch.
But you can listen to it.
Yeah, there's that.
There's a picture.
Pictures.
Okay, it's our logo, but still, it's a picture. Well, kids, you've wasted an hour and a half listening to us blather on about funny books.
It was really that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Time flies.
It does.
Yeah. And as we say every week, kids, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
I feel a dancing, woo, dancing, woo, call my mama now. Yeah!
Funk is on a roll.